Welcome to Quality Perks, the podcast that not only delves into the intricacies of contact center quality management, but also uncovers the personal stories of industry leaders. Brought to you by BPA Quality, your trusted partner in enhancing customer experiences.
And we're live.
That opening gets me every time.
I love
it. Good
morning.
Can they make an? I wonder if they could make an alarm clock that has that sound, like a coffee pot. Because my coffee pot goes on hours before, not a half hour, 45 minutes before I get up, so that it's ready. But that would be a good sound to wake up to.
Absolutely. You could actually make your own, like ringtone or something like that as well.
Someone's had to have thought of that already. The audience can find that. If anybody finds a coffee pot alarm clock sound, let me know. Or ringtone. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Quality Perks. We're joined today by Stephanie Taylor. Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
And we also have Karen with us, as always, and myself, Neil. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I love being able to have coffee with friends.
There
we just happen to be co-workers.
You all put the pressure on me. So I chose a clear mug so you could see my creamer commitment. My creamer commitment. So throughout the morning as I drink more coffee, and Neil, I've watched some of these. I'm not up to your number of coffee cups yet. I'm getting there. But I decrease the creamer in each one, trying to watch my sugar. But Karen's going to know this. We've had many conversations. This is pumpkin spice creamer, which I'm very committed to, hopefully year round. Last year was the first year I was able to keep it year round. And so that's definitely what's in my coffee today.
What type of brand of coffee are you having this morning?
Okay. I'm going to, you guys have really been talking some awesome brands. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about Joe's Cafe coffee, and I did order some. I've already drank all of it. It was delicious. So I can reinforce that. Today in my coffee pot is a store brand, McCafe. And I don't go to McDonald's much, but their coffee is really good, and it's my go-to in between trying new things these days.
I'm a fan for sure.
Excellent. Yeah, have you had there? So what about you two? What are you drinking this morning?
Well, I went with the Joe. Oh.
Go ahead, Karen.
I went with Joe Coffee as well. So it's Joe's Donut Shop. Used it in my Keurig. The problem with today was that I ran out of creamer. So I'm using this, a protein shake, added to my coffee. Vanilla, of course. And it is delicious. And hits the spot, and it gives me the protein I need to face the day.
There you go. And low sugar, I'm betting, in that protein.
That's correct. And, yeah, it's good for us, for old people like me.
Oh, Lord. I'll transition to Ocean City Coffee Company making a return, Kenya AA. I think I had them on the first episode or second. Not sure, but I'm a fan. I drink my coffee black, so I don't have any creamer talk. But my mug today, we've got a couple birthdays to celebrate. It is my daughter's 12th birthday, so she'll be really excited that I showed her face on this mug during a podcast seen by millions around the world. And Karen, you are celebrating a birthday as well, I think?
I am. My daughter is turned 17 today, and I cannot believe that she's almost an adult.
Karen, that does seem impossible. That does seem So your daughter's 17. Neil, how old's your daughter today?
12. She's turning 12.
Dozen years old.
Today. We've been reminding her that she's an elf, not a teen. So she's 12, not 13. So she's an elf for one more year.
She's a tween, which I think is worse.
Does that term even still exist, tween?
I guess so.
I think so.
I had hair. I used to. When these photos were taken, I had hair.
Happy birthday to them.
Happy
That's
birthday.
Wonderful.
Neil, so, wait till she becomes, you know, dating age. You're going to just be so happy and it's amazing.
I'm going to just transition now to talking about contact center quality monitoring. We'll get off that other topic. And Stephanie, while we were prepping, we were just in the green room. You have such a great history of working with contact centers and quality monitoring and customer care, customer experience. So I was hoping you could kind of walk us through your experience in the industry and to kick us off.
Sure. I think I would say it's great experience because I learn from everyone I interact with. But it is, it's a longstanding relationship I have with service and serving customers. And I have been with BPA Quality now 13 years, lucky 13, I'm going to call it. But I have known BPA Quality and have worked with them and alongside them for more than 20 years now. And that's when I was kind of from the other side of what we do every day by being a client working with them. And I always say they're just as great to work for as they were to work with when I was on that side. And I think my passion, if you will, you can call that geeky and nerdy that I like to talk about these things, but it comes from learning service. Back in college, I started out waiting tables. And waiting tables is an interesting field because you don't make a lot of money unless you're good at it. So if you're not good at it, you get weeded out pretty quick by the low hourly rate that you get paid. You live on those tips. And the way you make more money and the way you increase your tips is by thinking ahead, taking care of the customer, unlike they've been taken care of before. So many folks may be tempted just to throw down their average tip all the time. But service has become a key element in everything we do. Every interaction we have involves some level of service, even if it's with your electric company, right? If I turn on the light switch, I expect the lights to come on and I expect them to provide the energy to do that. And they expect me to pay for that on time, every time. So we have a good relationship. That service agreement that we enter into exists. And so I'm going to say that waiting tables was where I learned the better you serve, the more you make, and it is important and you can stand out and be different. And through the years, that element of service has come into all industries and all businesses. And I really can't think of an example out there that it's not a factor in what we do every day in our jobs. And I have been lucky enough to be able to take that experience and continually build upon that with technology changes, relationship exposure. Goodness, we've learned a lot in the past 20, 30 years around how we can do this better, but not just how we do it better. How do you intentionally make it better? And so that's kind of where my mind and my history is and the source of some.
It's a great beginning. I think I started out kind of in the same way, you know, waiting tables, restaurant industry type thing. We should do a poll, Karen. We should throw it up on the site about, you know, where did you learn service? How did it, you know, how did it progress or you know, stream throughout your life and your career and things that you went on to do afterwards? So those are fun jobs, but you're right. You have to do all those things. You have to proactively take care of the customer. So it's the transition between that and what, you know, contact center agents do, it's the same thing, right? It's don't handle every call. I call it the 1,000 call stare, right? You're trying to create that unique relationship with each caller, especially in sales or outbound calls or, you know, inbound sales cues to build that relationship with the customer. And it's the same thing when you're working in the hospitality business. So it's totally an A equals B, one plus two equals three. There you go. Type relationship. So from the different clients that you've worked with over the years here at BPA, what do you take away, I think, is the most important deliverable for those clients?
What's an important takeaway from all of that? A common question that I get a lot today is, how much does it cost, for you to help us? For you to help me improve my quality, what does it cost? And of course, it's a cost, right? It's a cost. We're in business, right? So mm-hmm. It's got to be a cost associated with it. But what I like to see is not just what does it cost? What can quality do for you today? And I encounter a lot of folks that will answer and say, we've got a quality program. It's almost like it's a checklist, right? Quality check, we're doing that. Training check, we're doing that. Coaching, we're doing it. But how long has it been since you've looked at what you're doing and you've changed it based on your customer expectations? Or, is it saving you money? Is it telling you something that you didn't know yesterday? Where are the interaction points that are key to your customers today? For instance, we've been evaluating and reviewing chat and email interactions for clients for going over 8 years. And I've got some clients they don't yet have chat availability with their customers. Mm. So the technology gaps and how clients are catching up to apply all this technology so that I can reach you in the way I choose, right? Whether it's just through a chat or through an email, or maybe I need a phone call. Those interactions are all over the place when it comes to the technology application. And so quality can be a key driver on your budget, not just in what it costs, but what it saves you, how it changes your customer's perception of what you do. How you manage your quality and the changes you make is the real answer to that question today. When was the last time you've updated your quality program, if you have it? Are you asking the same questions you were asking about quality a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago? And if the answer is yes, because we invested in that program and it is solid, it is hard-coded to measure our environment, I would say you need to look at it again, because things are changing every day and how customers expect what customers expect from us and those interactions.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's two-sided, or it's multi-sided, really. I mean, you need a quality program to be able to measure the behavior of the frontline agents, make sure that they're doing what they need to do in order to serve the customer. But it's also a profit center, right? So you're measuring behavior to correct the opportunities and sustain the successes. But it's also, as you said, what has your quality program told you about your business that you didn't do yesterday? These are your frontline troops. These are the folks talking to your customers. Management they're not the ones talking to the customers. The agents are the one. There's so much gold inside those conversations about what do good agents do that customers tend to react better to. How do we replicate mm-hmm. that? As David had spoke about in one of the earlier shows was, you had that one agent who did things really well. Let's learn from them, farm material that customers really tend to buy from this agent a little bit more. Well, why is that? Let's look at the tools. Let's look at the technology, look at the behaviors, the relationships that agent's building. How they ask questions is the most important thing. How they respond to nuggets of information that the customer has given them. That's really the important side of a quality program. It's not, as you said, just checking a box. Yep, we got it. We're keeping an eye on them. Is not the mentality you want to have when you're implementing and measuring the success of a quality program.
Completely agree. You can also go, the pendulum can swing the other way with technology. And I've seen this happen a lot because the technology has become so advanced. And I interact with a lot of organizations who have gone full in with technology, and maybe they have all of the advanced areas of speech analytics, workforce management, knowledge management. There's so many great products out there that can help you in those ways. And some technology will tell you, you don't need a human interaction. It can be completely automated. But what I find is if you buy into that without those questions and those check-ins, like you were describing, Neil, what are you learning from it? Is I see organizations who've spent millions to advance the technology and get it caught up with our times, but they don't know how to fix problems or apply the data, the information the technology is telling them. Right. So they can say, oh, yeah, I can tell you the whole times in my calls have gone up, 30 seconds, but they don't know why. They don't know how to bring it back down. They surround themselves with buckets of data because they have the technology to measure something, but they don't quite know how to influence the customer experience with that same data. And right. That's another great area we come in to talk about the whys, make it beyond that checklist of, oh, we've got speech, we've got this, we do this, but can you fully automate coaching today to influence change in every phone call? I like how you said the 1,000 call stare, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a tough job.
It is.
And how you motivate and change that behavior.
Yeah. Well, I'm always reminded of a quote from your earlier statement where the data without insights is meaningless, right? Yeah. So you're surrounding yourself with all this data, but if you don't have the insights to measure it and to action it, it's just data. So it's an important part. If you were to give advice to a company looking to either start up a quality program or enhance their quality program, what would that be?
The key piece of advice. Everyone has an opinion about service. Everyone has an opinion about service. And I've come across examples where there was certain language used because Mary insisted the new technology be called that language, or Bill has been with us a long time and this was Bill's program and Bill built, the phrases that we use and we can't change it. My best advice would be only listen to the customer. All of those opinions that each of us have about a particular service, especially if you've got a lot of longevity in your organization, kind of throw those out the window for now as you're considering improvements and changes to quality, or maybe you're just wanting a fresh approach. And I would suggest starting with only what the customer says. And if that's not your guide, you're going to miss the mark. And how can you improve the customer experience? That would be my best advice, coupled with asking yourself some of those questions. When was the last time we used the information we were measuring? And, are we measuring the right things? So if you're looking at what the customer is telling you, by nature, those questions are going to come up because the customers have a lot to say. We survey them. We don't always get back to them timely. Mm-hmm. It takes time to make these improvements. But if you're listening to what that customer is telling you, that's where your business is headed. And that's how you can make improvements that are going to be noticed by all your customers when you listen to them.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think going back to the getting geeky about quality, taking customer survey data, correlating it with quality data to give you 360-degree view of what's actually happening with your business and your product is really, really interesting data. So is your quality program, you're coming in and you're scoring 90s, but your CSAT surveys are, in the dumps, or vice versa? To your point, what are you measuring? Are what you're measuring or what you're asking really important? and taking a scientific, psychometric view of the questions you're asking and how you're asking them is incredibly important. So thank you for that. Well, Stephanie, thank you for your time today. Karen, as always, thank you as well. Next week, we will be here with our analytics team. So we're looking forward to bringing them on, coming that psychometric tease there that I had just a few minutes ago. So they'll be on with us. And thank you, Stephanie. Really, I've always enjoyed talking with you and your insights and your experience.
Well, thank you, too. This was a lot of fun. I've still got half a cup of coffee to go.
I think we're going to be on a meeting together in like 10 minutes. So just hold on to it.
I'll finish it again. Yep. Good to see you guys. Have a great day.
Take care. Too. Thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye.
Bye.